Good morning, church. One thing they tell you whenever you're doing business like this is never follow children. Oh my goodness, wasn't that amazing? That was great. And we'll hear from the McClellans a little bit later today as well. And thank you to the praise team and to all of those who provided the breakfast out there. Yes. I believe that Carolyn Palmer took the lead on that, and God bless you for that and all your team for helping you. We have a lot going on today. You'll see the Pure Change buckets. If you're a visitor, we'll just explain what this is briefly. You're not required to give at any point in the worship service. The buckets are here at the end of every month. We don't spend our change. Whatever change we're given back, coinage, we put aside. And at the end of the month, we bring it, we place it in buckets, and then that money is reserved for the use of widows and orphans. There is a month at the end of the year where we use it for member care, but it is all for charity and all for kindness, and every penny goes for that. So that's what that is. And you may see kids at any time in the service come up here. You may see kids because the kids are here. I don't know if you've been able to hear them, but that's all right. We want you to know we love the kids. It's going to be a massive youth group here eventually. We also need to at least mention the fact that we are here, we are free by the grace of God, and because of the sacrifices of those who have come before us. Please take some time this Memorial Day to remember all of those who died while in uniform and serving this country, and those who served the cause of freedom worldwide. And in Britain, we wear little poppies to remember out of the World War I killing fields of Flanders. In this country, you do different things in different ways. But remember them, and remember them in prayer each day, but especially on this weekend. If you were able to hear, getting past your being impressed at the reading and the memorization of these little girls, as they read out of Matthew 25, if you really took a look at that passage, you might decide that's a very disturbing passage, especially for the likes of us. And I'll explain why. We've had several classes here recently on heaven and hell. And one of the things we've been very upfront about is we don't know nearly as much about it as people think. The Bible just doesn't tell us as much as we'd like to know about either place. When I was a boy, we knew everything about the end of the world. We had sermons. We had film strips. If you don't know what film strips is, think of the world's most boring PowerPoint. That's what it was. Because nobody knew to go to the next slide until someone went boing, and then somebody turned in the back. It was primitive, actually. And then the dinosaurs would block the view. But when I was a boy, we knew everything about the end of the world, and we'd studied it. And now when we look at it, we say, you know, we're not really sure. But Jesus does have something to say about an event that will occur at the end of the world. And it's in Matthew 25. Where everybody is in front and they're separated into the lost and the saved piles. And the people in the lost pile, he'll say, you're lost because you never fed me when I was hungry, and you didn't give me clothes when I needed them. And when I was in prison, you didn't come to see me. And when I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. And they're going to go, we never saw you. What are you talking about? And he said, you didn't do it to the least among you. Therefore, you didn't do it to me. And you look at the saved ones, because you know a lot of the saved ones right now are going, I don't remember doing that either. And he's saying, you come on in, because when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you fed me. You gave me clothes when I needed them. You went to prison, took care of me when I was sick. You did all this for me, and they're going to say, we don't really remember. First of all, I got to tell you, if I find myself in a saved pile, I'm not going to go, I'm not really sure I belong here. Was there an administrative error of some sort? You might want to... No, I'm just going to duck a little bit, move behind everybody else, and I'll be fine. But they're going to say, we don't remember doing this. And Jesus goes, you did it to the least among you. You did it to me. Now, why is that disturbing? Well, it's disturbing because, well, there's judgment. That's pretty serious stuff at any time. They're separated. They are commended, and they're condemned. That's pretty serious stuff, but there's more than this. It seems like legalism. After all of our struggles to get away from legalism, after all of our sermons on grace, after all of our efforts to become a more kind, gracious, tolerant people, we run into this passage of Matthew 25. What are we going to do with this? there are those that take this and run with it and say, you see, you are saved by works, and God's going to judge you by works. And what they mean is by works alone. Just like people who say faith alone or grace alone. God just doesn't throw the words alone at the end of these things, but we do. Fact is that what you do, it matters to God. Your heart will be revealed in your actions, and that matters to God. But are we saved by works alone? One of the rules of Scripture is you can't take any Scripture and interpret it in such a way that it makes the other ones nonsensical. So you can't say that this teaches we're saved by works alone. So let's back up a little bit. Taking into account all the Scriptures you've heard about Jesus, about grace, salvation, and alike, ask yourself this. Can a person be saved without Jesus by just doing good things? What do you think? All right, thank you. See, visitors, I don't like preaching to a painting, so you do need to respond at some point. You may yell rubbish, you may fling something. That's all right, as long as we know you're sucking down oxygen and putting out carbon dioxide, which is now a pollutant. I guess I always assumed I was a problem in the universe. Now I know it's official. Is a person saved by doing good things? No. Well, then what is this all about in Matthew chapter 25? Since we all do bad things, is there a formula that if you do a certain amount of good things, a certain amount of bad things will be negated? Is this an accountancy sheet? No, because accountants don't do it that way. They walk in and say, what do you want the end number to be? And then they just go back and they move things about. I found that out in the one class I had in accountancy. I signed up for a class. Don't ask why. I don't know. Temporary insanity runs in the family. Sat through one class and I saw them keep. Now they said, but you can move this credit over to the debit side and you can do this. And I'm going, I'm out. I just, no, you can't do that in medicine. You can't say, now, if you don't like this pill, you can take four of these shots. Well, you can, but you'll die. We need a savior. We need somebody that balances the books, and we can't do it with good behavior. So what do we do here? Here's the real battle. Are we Christians because we do the things we do? Or do we do the things we do because we're Christian? That's the big question here. I'll say it again in case you missed it. Are we Christian because we do the things we do? Or do we do the things we do because we're Christian? We have some scouts here today that will receive an award later. There are good scout leaders are trying to train them to get in the habit of service, the habit of learning, the habit of stretching themselves. If you're doing it just for the wee badge, after a while you stop because the badges stop. But if you're doing it to get in a habit of doing the right thing, well, that's a different thing entirely. Is Jesus telling us what it takes to get into heaven, or is Jesus revealing the kind of people that he wants to go to heaven? The kind of people he wants to spend eternity with. I think that's it. He's talking about the kind of people he wants to spend eternity with. These are the kind of people, when they see something, they take care of it. When they hear and they see it, that's another thing. Everything in this is intentional. Have you ever noticed that? None of these actions are accidental. Did you feed that person? Yeah, I didn't mean to. Not sure what happened. Did you go to prison to visit that person? Yeah, I was going to Target and I missed. There's a secondary joke in there somewhere, but find it. Two people just got it and I heard them. All right, good, good. You'll find that if you have to explain everything I say, the sermon takes twice as long. That's all, go ahead. All of these actions are not random. I seriously disapprove of the bumper sticker mentality that says, practice random acts of kindness. No! Plan them. Get up in the morning and think about doing them. Plan them. The difference between people who succeed and those who fail is usually a plan. And we don't normally talk about this. Well, no, that person got lucky, or that person got a better job, or that person. No, it's a plan. What is your plan? Do you have a plan to serve other people? What is your plan? How are you going to work your plan? A few years ago, some of you were here then, and you remember that Josh Graves and I gave you a challenge at the end of a service. We said, we want you to take $15. It's an odd number. $15. And bless somebody with it this week. And come tell us your story. Do you remember that? Some of you do? Do you remember, those of you who actually did it, how it changed you? It was amazing. We had people stopping on the street to get out of the car and talk to people and saying, let's take you to lunch. We had people stopping in car washes to say, we want you to know God has not forgotten you, and handing a worker the money. And the stories that came back in were amazing. And it wouldn't have happened if we hadn't given you a plan and you hadn't worked the plan. You need a plan. What is your plan? I talked to a church recently, Mark Brackney's church. A lot of you remember Mark. What a great guy. I talked to his church and they said, well, how can we reach out to the community? And I said, first of all, go out to eat. They were liking this already. And I said, make it your job to convert every waitress and waiter in Knoxville. They said, how do you do that? And I said, by loving them. And I started talking about it. Well, one of the elders and his wife asked me out to eat. We're there. I just keep waiting for them to do something. They don't. We're now near the end of the meal. The check has come. I'm thinking, he's got to move on this. The guy starts to pick up the check because we've paid it, you know, and he's saying, you guys have a great day. So I jumped in. I said, before you go, we're Christians and we're going to have a prayer later. Is there anything you want us to pray about? And the waiter goes, yes. And he got down on his knees by her table. And he says, a friend of mine just found out he had cancer. And he starts pouring this all out. And the elder's looking at me, the jaws hitting the table. And they're like, this works? Yes. If you do, you've got to have a plan. I've had people say, I'd like to do that, but I'm too nervous. How bizarre is this? I'm afraid of the waitress. You're afraid of the waitress? Why would you be afraid of the waitress? You've already eaten. They can't damage the food. Why? They might think I'm nuts. They probably already do. So bless them. Work the plan. How many things have you wanted to do, but you've never gotten around to doing it? You wanted to write a book, but you didn't. Because you didn't have a plan. You wanted to get a better job. You wanted to teach a class, take a class, go on a special vacation. You wanted to end a long-standing family feud. You wanted to get around to visiting that relative that you know you need to visit. You wanted to get around to telling somebody about Jesus or spending more time with your kids or whatever. But why didn't you do it? Because all those were wishes. Those were not plans. You will not be the people in Matthew 25 by accident. You need a plan. So what's your plan? The people in Matthew 25 woke up with a plan. They intended to serve somebody. They found people who are not usually in our sight lines. Most of us can go through our entire week not seeing anybody who we notice needs clothes, food, or water. And we don't see people in prison because we're not there. Right? And so we get through the whole week and go, well, I guess God didn't want me to bless anybody because I didn't see anybody. Interesting story, this. I'm not a Greek scholar by any stretch of the term. But I know some. And they tell me in the Good Samaritan story that when the Samaritans saw the Jew that had been beaten up, that word saw indicates an intentional looking. He was seeking for somebody to help when he saw that man. He already had a plan. He already had a plan. He already had the money. He already had the medicine. He had the plan. I'm looking for them. If you look for them, you can find them. If you don't find them, it's because you're not looking for them. You've not trained your eyes. What do you look for? I was driving with a bunch of men once. We were going down to play golf hours away. And everyone in the car was a hunter except me. In Britain, only rich people named Reginald and Nigel hunt. And it's always somebody like me in the bushes that has to throw the bird up. You know, that's Oh, good shot, Nigel. You know, don't worry about the little Scottish guy. We can get another one, you know. So I never hunted is the big story, right? As we're driving down, they're constantly going, oh, look, deer. The first couple of times they said deer. And I'm thinking, you don't call me that. What? And then they're all nodding. Oh, there's some turkeys over there. There's some, I don't know, wombat. I don't know what they were seeing, but they were seeing them everywhere. Even when they pointed, I didn't see them. It was like little ninja deer. I don't know if they were in camo. Maybe they were in a stand with that little black uniform on or something, but I didn't see them. My eyes had never been trained to see them. You know why we don't see the poor? You know why we don't see the people who need our help? It's because we've trained our eyes to see only our needs and our schedule, and we don't look for them. So we don't see them. God says, get a plan. Get a plan. He is not content with our worship. He is not content with our doctrinal perfection or our eternal search for it. He calls us to be intentional people to take it to the streets. The love of God in an active, sacrificial way. A plan. When you walk in saying, I will bless somebody in this store. I will find somebody today and I will bless them specifically in the name of Jesus. I'm serious about this. This week I had to be in a PetSmart to get some food for my bird. Because Cammie hasn't killed it yet. The bird always has a comment to make, and sometimes it's not a popular comment. So Cammie pulls out a frozen Cornish game hen, shows it to the bird, you know. She has various opportunities. So I'm in there. I don't know. It was national. I don't know if you're aware of this. It was a holiday. It was national grumpy people who don't like anybody go to PetSmart Day. And they were all in front of me and all around me. And I'm like this. The wine-o-meter was just pegging. I was so fed up by the time I got to. Everybody had a coupon, ladies. I love coupons as well. But here's an idea. Call me crazy. Get it out of your purse before you get up there. Before they're done ringing you up. Then don't go, oh, one of us has a coupon. I'm just saying. All right, one more. Why? Ladies, I love you. You're wonderful in every way. But why, when they tell you the price, do you act surprised that you now need to pay? It's like, oh. Men are out there just swiping the card already. Put it in. You know, we're ready. We're commandos. Get in, get it, get out. That's it. Anyway. I was full of sweetness and light by the time I hit the cashier. I didn't hit her. I mean, I was ready. I was in line. Now, this poor lady had to deal with everybody. And I had a plan. My plan was to bless somebody here. And it wasn't going to be anybody in front of me. Because they had the chance at a blessing. They'd blown it. It was over. The lady then hands me the, you know, we do the whole thing. And on the screen are 500 questions. Do you want to give a dollar to this? Do you want to do a dollar to this? Do you want to do a dollar to that? Or are you a person that cares about nobody but yourself and just wants to, you know, so I'm doing this. And the lady looks at me and she's so tired. She's hot. And she goes, have a nice day. And I thought, this is your plan. And I just stopped, looked at her, and I said, you've had an interesting day so far, haven't you? And she looked at me and she said, yes. And I said, I want you to know something. I called her by name. And I said, I'm going to be praying for you today to have a great blessing from God. And she became another person like this, just lit up. And it was wonderful. And I will go back there and look for her. And I'm looking for the rest of them. I had a plan. That's the way we live our lives. Isn't it the way we should live our lives? Find a plan. Bless somebody in the room. Take a specified amount of time and money that you say, today I'm going to bless somebody with this. See what happens. I'm going to ask our readers, the McClellans, if you could come back up. And you've already got a microphone, don't you? And just all who want to come up, come up. And those who don't have to. How's that? Well, they can come up slowly in batches. You can sit. You can stand. Look at this. Does the union know you're doing this, Jeremy? First of all, girls, we are so proud of you. We are. You guys have a plan. You've got some stuff that you do as a family. Can you tell us where you work, where you do your charitable, your blessing work?
About 10 years ago, well, 12 years ago, we moved in. I got to back up the story a little bit.
Sure, we got time.
To a townhouse next to some wonderful people, Brian and Lisa Kane. And we were already friends with them before, but we came very, tight at the heart, so to speak, friends. And we went to God's Helping Hands initially, probably more so because we were friends with the Canes and not knowing everything about it. We'd gone to a couple clothing sorts. Mm-hmm. And the like, but we went there on a Thursday night for a couple hours and were just touched, and we decided then that we were going to make a commitment that we would dedicate some of our time to God's Helping Hands, and it's just grown from there.
If you don't know what God's Helping Hands is, it's a warehouse that Brian and Lisa Kane started this ministry. It's supported by many churches and many individuals. I believe it's the largest supplier of food and clothing in Oakland County. Is that correct? That is. And it's this year, it's on nearly doubled the need, isn't it? Has it doubled or nearly? It's not a salt. He just is letting you speak. That's all it is. And you have stayed with it. This is your ministry. This is, and I know you do other things as well with the children's ministry. Is it a family ministry? Do you take your children with you?
Yeah. I think for us, I think going to God's Helping Hands as a family is huge for a couple reasons. The girls get to see our faith in action and see that, you know, we live what we believe and that it's authentic. So I think that's probably the hugest thing. And then they get to be involved to a certain degree in what we do there. And so it's good for us as a family.
It is. Now, is this... you really hit my next question, and that is this a tradition you're trying to pass on to your children? And...
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know if we've planned it that way intentionally. I think, if nothing else, we've planted the seed of a giving of ourselves, and to make it more of what's normal for us and what's normal for our kids, that they know what we're going to be doing on Thursday nights, and they expect it, unless... something comes up, I mean, that's where we'll be.
And so, and this requires a plan. I mean, you've got to be there on Thursday nights. It means you do some things and don't do other things. Mm-hmm. That means it's got to be a pain sometimes, but I'm assuming you believe benefits outweigh?
Yeah, there are definitely nights that the girls don't want to go, but there are more nights that they're excited that they get to go. And actually, we were talking just a few weeks ago to the girls about, you know, what do you like about going, and... what's something that you guys can do there more? Because, you know, initially when we started going, they just play. Mm-hmm. And the default was that they entertained everyone around them, and we're a blessing that way. Mm-hmm. But we're talking to them about what's something more that you can do besides, you know, what you're doing already. And they spend a lot of their time when we're there in the conference room coloring. And we started saying, you know what, maybe we should take that time that you color and go ahead and do that. But let's take those pictures and take them out and give them to the people that are out there.
That's a great idea.
And so they did that the last time we were there, and I think that was really special to them, maybe even more, and also to the little kids that got those pictures and the volunteers that got piles of pictures.
That's great. Now, is there anything else you want to say to us about God's Helping Hands, its impact on your family or the like before? No pressure.
I guess it's more of a generic answer than anything else. Serving at God's Helping Hands definitely opens your eyes to what need is out there in our direct community, and also that it definitely is more of a blessing to us than it is to those that we give to. Mm-hmm. And one other thought I had was just left my mind. But,
welcome to my world.
basically, that When we started going to God's Helping Hands, we didn't have a plan of what we were going to be doing there. Mm-hmm. And we just, from giving wrong food items to wrong people, it's just part of the humor behind it, mixing up hominy and corn and simple mistakes. But just that there's so many things that you can do at God's Helping Hands that it's easy to be able to fit in and find something to do there. And it's just... Mm-hmm. It's nice for us in that way that we can be flexible and try different things while we're there, too.
That's great. Thank you so much. Please, thank them. No. Think how life-changing this is. In a world where the most popular indoor sport is demanding more and more services, more and more rights, more and more, what would it be like if we released 1,000 people from this place every Sunday who weren't crying for more, but who had a plan? And their plan was to bless somebody in a specific way with a specific amount of money or time that day. And they were on a hunt for them. How much like a city on a hill, a light in the darkness, would it be if we started it here? So what's your plan? A lot of you will be sitting there thinking that would be a good thing, but what's your plan? Will you sit down with your family? Will you devise a plan and will you work it? Will you revisit it as your situation changes or as the opportunities change? Or as your children grow, as your health changes, will you find another way to do it? Will you quit waiting for opportunities to fall in your lap or to make it more religious? Quit waiting for the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit to lead you to what you're supposed to do. He already has. I hear people pray all the time, Lord, open up unto us doors of opportunity. Let's change that prayer. Lord, give us the eyes to see the doors that have been standing wide open in front of us for years. Do you want to be the kind of people Jesus wants to spend eternity with? Then start now. Get up, serve, bless and be blessed on purpose. Have a look at this video and then we'll sing.
A survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching Days of Our Lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you look into Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can shop nonstop or pop a pill, but the void won't fill and the pain won't kill till you love the one that hung on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol or Council Tribal has a final answer that'll satisfy you. CSI ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER or the OC, nothing on a CD, TV, DVD or MP3 can save you and me. CNN's got no good news. Here's a headline. You must choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, living in sin. You can be an apprentice for Donald Trump or eat Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You can be a heavy hitter, a Wheel of Fortune winner, a Fox News no spin spinner, a flat out sinner. But you better check this life that you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 cent Elvis Dunn came and went, and eventually every Black Eyed Pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy and Britney, every wannabe on MTV with the icy bling, every Dixie chick that sings, they all gonna see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J-Lo or Leno or Bono. One thing you gotta know, someday you're gonna die, bro. Then where are you gonna go? Hey, I'm not talking some punk junk that's irrelevant like your grandma's church from way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TBN that you need to be liking or listening. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth and the life. One day he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you is don't buy that stupid stuff they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Give your life to God while there's still time.